Okay, so we're holding on Kuf Chaf Aleph on the days, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh B'Bitoy, the second line from the bottom of the narrow lines, two lines above the medium lines. We learned yesterday, we discussed, the Mishnah had talked about the question, how long can a person survive in water? We sort of, Meir said they had that case of a person who lasted for 3 days in the Bar HaGadol, and the Chum said that was Ma'aseh Nisim, and they went back and forth, was it really a Ness or not? So related to that, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh B'Bitoy Shel Nechunya Chayif HaShichin, and it happened with the daughter of Nechunya the well digger. Now he actually was considered, the Mishnah and Shkalim lists him as one of the officials of the Beis Mikdash. His official job was to dig wells and pits for water so that the people, so that the early regal should have plenty of water. And the Rishami mentions over there that he was an expert, not just at the digging, that anybody could do, but he was an expert at knowing what areas you're going to find cold water, what areas you're going to find warmer water, etc., that sort of thing. So that was his job. So his daughter, Shenafel Abora Gadol, she fell into the Abora Gadol, a large pit that her father had dug. So they came and informed Rechanina Mendoza that he should daven for her. The first hour passed, he said, Shalem, she's still, everything's peaceful. She's not out yet, but she's safe. Shnia Amalahem Shalem, the second hour also, he said, everything's okay. Shlishis Amalahem also, the third hour, which already at that point, she wouldn't have been able to survive in there any longer. At that point, he said, it's okay, she's out. How he knew, we'll get to in a minute. Yes, right here. Mefarshim, by the way, point out, some of the posts can point out based on this, so that it comes out that the maximum time, when we learned yesterday that you have to wait after Tetzin Nafshay, would be 3 hours. Other Mefarshim say not necessarily. Shah in the Gemara doesn't always mean an hour. When we say Nasha Yotza, for example, yesterday Skyim Afilu Shah Echot doesn't mean for an hour, it means a short period of time. So yes, Shah is Shah, so the 3 hours could mean 3 short periods. So they talk about the different possibilities, that maybe a shah over here means 15 minutes, maybe, anyway. Amalah, so sure enough, when she showed up, the Rav Chanina Mendoza asked her, Biti mihalach, my Torah, who brought you up? Amalah, Zachar Sharachelim Nizamanli, a ram from the sheep came to me, the Zachar Manhiga, and there was an old man leading it. Who was the old man? Who was the ram? It's Avram, with the ram from the Akedah. So what happened is she was saved in the schos of the Akedah. So either there's the general idea, Marsha talked about, that in general the Akedah is always in the schos of the Akedah, there's always a limud schos on Jewish people, and therefore they're saved in situations like this. Different other Mepharshim talk about different possibilities of Pnei Yeshua, I think, in Bava Kamma, where the story also appears, Pnei Yeshua talks about the idea that just like the ram substituted for Yitzchak, so also over here, like the Avish is substituted, instead of that she would end up drowning in the water over there, that something else will happen, or that it will happen to somebody else, or whatever, that she'll be safe. Amrulai, so they asked Rav Chanina Mendoza, Navi Ata, were you a Navi, that you knew that she's safe? Amalahem, le Navi Anoichi, v'lai ben Navi Anoichi, Ella, no, I'm not a Navi, but I knew. How is it possible that something that the Tzaddik himself was involved with, that his descendants should end up stumbling through it? He dug this very well for the Oile Regel, how he talking that his own daughter should end up drowning in it. Amar Baba, even so, we do find that another one of his children died from a matter of water. Mes Bnei Batsama, his son, at some, either before or after, whatever it was, Nechunya's son died of thirst. Shenamar, and because the pasuk says that the Eved treats tzaddikim very strictly, that any small thing they do wrong, the Eved treats them very strictly. Shenamar spirav nisara ma'od, around him is very stormy, but nisara malosh and seyar, a hair, malamacha, kodesh baruch medakdikum spirav kuchot asayra. So we see from that the Eved is particular with those who are close to him, those who are surrounding him, the tzaddikim, even to a hair's breadth. Rav Chanina Amar Mehacha, Rav Chanina said there are different pasuk that expresses the same idea. Keil Maratz V'Soid K'doshim, the Eivishter who's elevated in the secret group of the Holy Ones, Rabbah is great, V'Noirah Kol Svivav, and awesome to all those who are surrounding him. So again, the same idea that those who are closest, those who are surrounding the Eivishter is Noirah, they get treated much more with Midas Adin. So after all, Tosfos asked the question. So after all, how is it if Chanina Mendoza just said that Dovish and Isasik boy kosher by Zare? So okay, the Eved maybe had a reason to that Nechunya's son has to die, but why Dafka of thirst? So Tosfos says that's not, it's not, still not contradicting what Rabbeinu Mendoza said. He was talking about this very well. The very well that Nechunya dug, it's not right that his daughter, the Eibush is not going to make it, but his daughter is going to drown in that well itself. But that his son died of thirst, that's a side thing. It's not directly having to do with what Nechunya did. Other Mepharshim talk about different other possibilities. One of them being that it may have happened at some time. For example, when we're saying there might have been a fault in Nechunya, that therefore his son was punished, and we know the Gemara mentions in Shabbos that children, Rahman al-Islam, can be punished for the averus of their fathers. So what might have been his avera? I mean, he was a tzaddik, like Gemara is saying over here. But bedakos, it might have been, for example, let's say that one time when he has to go out and dig the wells, and you know what? I'm tired. I'll go do it later. So meanwhile, there are people thirsty for water. So therefore, they understand with Sviva Nisar Amoid that his son ended up being thirsty. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of who can give edus for that a person is dead. So till now, we talked about that we believe the woman herself to say that her husband is dead. We believe Eid Echad. We said we even believe Psula Edus. Now we're gonna bring in another factor. The factor called Messiah Lepitumai. Which means basically when somebody is just saying something without even meaning to give it as edus. They're just like they're telling over facts that happen. Like gossiping or whatever. Even if he hears just from women who are just Messiah Fabituman and saying so and so died, Dayo, that's enough. Rav Yehuda, I feel even more. I feel a shama min a tinoikus. I mean, harayanu hochem lispoi belikpoi tishpoini. Even if you just heard some children saying we're going to make a hesped and bury so and so, then also that's good enough. And the Gemara will talk about what the circumstances with the children. How we know that a taka is a hesped. How do we know their taka going? And all of this applies whether they mean to give it as edus or whether they're just meaning to, whether they're just them saying something and you overhear them. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it depends. Be Yisrael ach pishu miskaven. When it comes to a Yisrael who is giving edus, then it works even if he's specifically having in mind to give edus. We're not suspecting that Yisrael, except for the five cases that we mentioned in the previous paragraph, we don't suspect that Yisrael is going to go and lie about such a thing deliberately. But with a goy, im hoyim eskaven ein edus edus. If he specifically means to give it as edus, in base did, then his edus is not edus, because we suspect that shapiyim di bershav, that the goy may be lying, or maybe even the woman hired him as a false aid. Whereas if you mesiach v'tomei, then there's less of an issue with it. And there's a machlokas aposkim. And the machlokas is actually among the Mephoshim, among the poskim as well, what this means of a Yisrael. So are we talking about then, so what is it? Is it better if a Yisrael is giving Edus, or is it better if he's Messiah Lepitumai? On the one hand, Edus is stronger than Messiah Lepitumai. On the other hand, Messiah Lepitumai, there's no possibility really that the person is lying. So because he's saying it. He's just saying it as telling over to a friend or whatever, and you overhear it. They also discuss the issue when we say over here about a goy meaning to give edus. Does it have to be in front of Beis Din, or would it be the same thing even if he's meaning to tell us as edus, but it's not in front of Beis Din? We'll get to it a little bit in the Gemara, but there's a lot of discussion about it in Simon Yud Zayin and Eben Ezer, which is where all these dinim about edus isha are and about Hatorah Sagunos are. There's a lot of discussion back and forth among the poskim and the Nosa Kalim on the subject. By the way, I was mentioning yesterday, by the way, I was going to say that the Mordechai explains when you get down to it, so what do we see? We see we're being very makel in who is allowed to give edus, even a goy, even Messiah Vitumai, even Stam kids, etc. So we see we're being very makel who can give the edus. On the other hand, we said yesterday we're being very machmir as far as the edus itself. You have to actually be able to recognize the body very carefully. If it's Mayim Shein Lam Sos, then you can't be matter the wife to remarry because he might have swam away someplace else or whatever. So he says that's exactly it. The Chachamim were willing to be makel in who gives the edus, but not in the actual edus itself. The actual edus itself has to be a solid edus. So when it comes to Messiah Fitumai, fine. The guy has no reason to be Messiah Fitumai unless he knows for sure that this person is dead. But with actual ADUS, you need to have you need to have solid evidence. But once you have solid evidence, then it doesn't really matter so much who's giving it, whether it's a yid or whether it's a yid or a guy or a woman or a man, etc. The Shinever, Michael Shinever, has a word on it that he says specifically about Mayim Shein Lam Soif business. He says, why tackle with a Chacham so machmer on Mayim Shein Lam Soif? He says an interesting word. He says, we know there's a concept that halacha, we find in various places, that halacha creates reality. L'keo gomer alai. So therefore, by setting the halacha that we're going to be machmer on Mayim Shein Lam Soif, that there's a possibility the guy may have survived, that itself creates the reality that maybe tackle the guy can survive. And therefore, the Chachamim had to be machmer on that. Anyway, so Gemara asks, "Dumaloy Azli, you're saying that the children are saying we're going to give a hesped and we're going to bury so and so. How do we know? Maybe they were going to, but in the end they didn't go." The answer is, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, you're right. What the mission means is the Karmi Harenu Boyin Milisbed Umlikbaras Ishplani. It means they're saying we're coming back from the Levaya of so and so." Okay, the question is, "Vaduma Kamsa ba'al Meshachivle." Maybe just a bug died. Kamsa means either in various places. Rashi translates it as either Rashi translates it over here as both possibilities. Actually, a grasshopper or an ant, whatever, a little pet of theirs that died. And they gave the pet a name. I have my little pet bug Shmerel. So now they're coming back and saying we're coming back from Shmerel's Levaya, and they mean the bug, not a person. The answer is, Dekamri, you're right. It has to be that the kids are saying more than just we're coming back from Shmerel Levaya. They have to say details. Kain v'kain Rabbanon havu hasam, such and such rabbis were there. Kain v'kain Safdoni havu hasam, there was such and such mafidim there. Then already, if they give that level of detail, then you know it's not some play acting. You know they're telling facts. Then the mission continues. We said that if a goy is being miskaven, Rabbi Huda ben Bava said in the Mishnah that a goy, if he's miskaven, if he means to give it as edus, then it's no good. Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel lo yishanu elish miskaven lahasir. This is only if when the goy is saying what he says, he's saying it with intention to be matir the person's wife to remarry. But if he's just coming to give edus that the person is dead without thinking about or without saying anything about being matir the wife to remarry, edus, then his edus would be edus. So what does that mean? Hecha yadina, how would we know the difference? Amar of Yosef, like this, Bala Beis Din v'Amar Ish Ploini Mes Hasiu Ashishtrei. If the guy actually comes to Beis Din and says, Ploini is dead, you should allow his wife to remarry. That means that he's actually coming to be matter her, and you can't. You have to suspect that he might be. You have to suspect that he's lying in order to. Similarly, we had the Chumash Nashim before that they hate each other, and therefore they'll have to try to ruin things for each other. Similarly, with this guy over here, we're afraid that he's doing it as basically to play a practical joke on them. On the other hand, met stam, but if he just says stam, the guy died, zero niskaven la edus, then that means that he just meant edus. Itmar Nami, they also said a similar discussion of Amaroyim, Amar Ish Lakish, lo shanu el niskaven la hatir, when do we not accept the guy's testimony if he's saying specifically you should be matir the wife? Av on the sky and lahoyed edus edus, but if he's just coming to give edus that so and so is dead, then that's good edus. But amalei Rav Yechanan loikach hoya maisa ba Oshia b'Rebbe. Why don't you know of the story that happened with Oshia b'Rebbe? B'Rebbe is the Gemara standard. It's a title that they use for various amaroyim and sometimes panoyim, meaning the great one. Yochid b'Dora, Rashi says in a few places. Instead of Oshia, it says here Sheitiram, it's supposed to be on the side, it says Shehitris, that he argued im Shmonim B'chamishas Kenim with 85 Chachamim of his times, and Omer Lahem, that he said to them, Lo Shonim El Sheskavim Lahatir, Abel Neskavim Lahoyd Adrus Eidus, that Rabbi Oshia, Rabbi Yochanan saying to Rosh Lakish, Rabbi Oshia Taka took your view, that there's a difference between whether it be Neskavim Lahatir or just Neskavim to give Eidus. Abel, but we see the Chachamim there did not agree with him. They have 85 Chachamim against him. How could you hold that way? So obviously, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that distinction between Lahatir and Lahoidatus. So the question is, Elamos Nissen to Katani of Ober to Chavim Mahimaskaban Enedus Edus, Hechemashkafas. Also, what do you mean then? What is the distinction when we accept a goy's word, when not? That would be the case again where the goy is Messiah Chapitrumoy, where he's just saying it without intention to give Edus at all. He's just telling over something that happened. For example, there was the case of a guy who was one time walking along and say, and then calling out, man ika bechivoy, who is there in the house of chivoy who can listen to what I have to say? I want to tell you, shachit chivoy. Chivoy, name of the year, died. The instant of Rabbi Yosef would make it. And based on that, Rabbi Yosef allowed his wife to be married. Because the point is, he's not actually coming to base it and give edus. He's just like he's crying out. I have news. Different Mepharshim actually talk about those different ideas because the Rambam phrases it like this in Hilchos Gerushin when the Rambam brings these halachas. He explains that it has to be Messiah Kapitruma. He explains is that the goy basically starts out by saying, you know, oh, he's such a pity. You know, this guy was so nice to me. He's this, that, the other, and he's dead. So like he starts off with a story about the guy, and then besides Hadvarim, he mentions he's dead. Mashenkin, if he comes on Tchila and says Pliny is dead, that wouldn't be considered Messiah Kapitumah, says the Rambam. So then Mephoshim discuss how does that fit with our Gemara over here. And there's various possibilities, one of them being that actually when he's saying Man Ika Bechivoy is actually part of his klog. He's saying, you know what, it's a pity, there's nobody left from Chivoy's household anymore because Chivoy himself is dead. That already is considered enough, even according to the Rambam, where the idea would be that even that is considered enough Messiah Chapitumai. Oh. Yeah, meaning his wife, his children, whatever, like the guy is saying, like, you know, I knew this guy, Chivoy, and now that he's dead, you know, such a pity, such a nice household, and now there's nobody left from him. Another case, Hahu Dehava Ka'om of Ozil, there was another case of a guy who was walking along and saying, Vaili La Parsha Zriza Dehava Pumudisa, woe about the mighty warrior who was in Pumudisa, Deshachiv, who died, obviously was a particular well known person in Pumudisa. And again, the Insum of Rabbi Yosef, the Itame Rava, Ludvesu, and Rabbi Yosef, where some say Rava, allowed this Parsha, the soldier's wife, to be married. Same idea, that the guy wasn't coming to give it as edus, he was just standing, walking around, backlogging this, you know, this wonderful guy, he was such a mighty hero, and now he's dead. Another case, Hahu Dehava Ka'om of Ozol, Man Ika Bechasa, there was another guy who was one time walking along, and saying, who is there in Chasa's house, that was the name of the person, Tava Chasa, Chasa has drowned. Omer of Nachman, so when Rav Nachman heard that, he said, Hole Kim, I swear in the Evish's name, Ochlo Kavri L'chasa, the fish have eaten Chasa. And, now Rav Nachman did not actually say to the widow, you're allowed to remarry, according to this version of the Gemara, we'll have another version in a minute. Now all the Mepharshim talk about, if we have all the suffix all the time, whether he's really dead or not, how all of a sudden is Rav Nachman able to swear in the Evish's name that he is? And one answer is that, yes, when it comes to being Masu and Eishes Ish, you have to be more Machmir, because after all, there is the fact, up till now, she had the Chazaka of being an Eishes Ish. Mashenkin, when it comes to a Shvua, you can go according to the ordinary Rove. Yes, the ordinary Rove is that a person who dies gets eaten up by the fish. And therefore, that's good enough for him to swear on that basis. Based on what Rav Nachman said, the widow heard that he had said that, so she went and remarried. And they didn't object to her. They didn't say you didn't yet get a heter. Which Amar Rabashi Shmamino, we see from that. Hold the Amar Rabban and Mayim Shein Lam Seif Ishtei Asura. We see from that that this whole din that we've been saying that when a person drowns in Mayim Shein Lam Seif, that his wife is also Hani Milof Hatchila. Aval Inosiv Lo Mafkinen Lo Minay. That's only Lachatchila. But B'diavad, if she already got married without getting a heter, then we don't force them to divorce. Because we can indeed go according to the Rav. The Rav is that most people who fall into Mayim Shein Lam Seif do drown, and fine, you can accept on that basis. Ika Damri, a different version, is that it wasn't just that Rav Nachman himself said it, but rather it wasn't just that Rav Nachman said it and the widow on her own realized, you know what, my husband's dead, I have permission to remarry. The other version is, Insvar Rav Nachman L'Devesu. that according to the second version, Rav Nachman himself actually gave her the heter to remarry. Because evidently, according to this version, well, one second, Omar, we'll see why. Because Omar, because Rav Nachman said to him, figured, Chasa Gabra Rabba, he say, this Chasa is a great, important person. Im Issa, the solid color Isla the Milsa. If he would have come out alive, then there would be a call about it. People would know about it. The fact that we haven't heard anything indicates he really is dead. But the Gemara points out, Veloihi, it's not so. Loishna Gabra Rabba, Loishna Lav Gabra Rabba. The Ebed Ein Lachatchila Loi. Only the Ebed doesn't work, not Lachatchila. So in the end, according to the Maschana of the Gemara, yes, Rav Nachman couldn't have been Matar her Lachatchila. But Rav Nachman himself felt that there is this difference between Gabra Rabba and not. We had a similar on Amud Aleph yesterday. We had Rav Ashi giving a similar Svara about Surva Mirabanan, a young Talmud Chacham drowns in the same idea. There would be a kol if he actually survived. The Or Sameach, actually, Amrambam, makes a little bit of a distinction between the two cases. He says the Gavra Rabba over here doesn't necessarily mean he's a Talmud Chacham, just means he's a great, important person, and people would have heard about it. In the case of the Surva Mirabanan, it's not necessarily, he's not necessarily so well-known. There are a lot of Surva Mirabanans out there, but this is a person who will know the halacha that if he doesn't come back home or he doesn't send news home, then they may go and be mafia his wife improperly, and therefore he'll make sure to send a message. I saw actually, by the way, what's Rav Nachman's point in saying over here that the fish ate him? What's he gaining by that? So according to the first version that was saying that the widow herself overheard that and went and remarried, I saw in the Psak Din from one of the Israeli Bata Dinim many years ago where a person went diving in the Red Sea by a lot. And was lost, and then they had a whole psak din whether his wife they discussed it, or a lengthy psak din whether his wife is allowed to remarry based on the evidence. And one thing they pointed out, the Sechat Vorim, there were a lot of sharks in that part of the water. Yes, there's a high probability, if we couldn't find the body, that he was eaten. And so they mentioned, and then in this Psak Din, this Israeli based, they mentioned, maybe that's why in our Gemara over here, Rav Nachman right away jumps up and swears, Halakim, Achla Kahri Lachasa, because he wanted specifically that the widow should overhear that. He did it deliberately in order that she should overhear it and go ahead and figure, you know what, I'm allowed to get married, and then we can consider it a B'dievid situation. That according to the first version, right? Yeah. Well, we're talking about that. According to the second version, you're right. There's no particular reason for him to have said that. Because that was Rav Shila. That was yesterday. That was Rav Shila. That was Rav Shila. This is Rav Nachman, different Amara.
No question about it.
There's no question that Rav Nachman knew the din, yeah. Another case, going back to the matter of a guy saying that somebody is dead. There was a certain guy who says one time to a yid, I want you to cut some hay. Aspasta is basically unripe grain, where it's still usable to be fed to animals, and put it in front of my animal on Shabbos. The Eloi, and if you don't, katil nilach, kid katil nilaplani, by Yisrael, and if not, then I'll kill you just like I killed this other yid, I told him, cook for me a pot of food on Shabbos, and he didn't, and I killed him. So if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to kill you too. This that we're saying, by the way, that this first yid, that he refused the order and was killed for it, there's actually a famous machloikas rishonim whether he did the right thing. This wasn't a shat hashmat. This is a tough guy forcing a yid to do an avera, but it's not one of the big three, and it's not shat hashmat, and it's not b'fahetia. So according to the Rambam, actually, the first yid should not have been Moisa Nefesh. He should have taken gone and cooked the food on Shabbos rather than be Moisa Nefesh. Where Tosfos holds, and the Ramah brings it, that a person is allowed to in such cases. Even if it's not required by halacha for him to be Moisa Nefesh, but he's allowed to. That's a different story, right. Yeah. Yeah, because that's how they find, for example, how Daniel is still davening when they made an order that anybody who does is going to be thrown into the lion's den, or Hanani Mishal Hazalia, and the statue. Okay.
To some extent.
I mean, we Ashkenazim anyway hold like the Ramah that you're allowed to regardless, not like the Rambam who says that you're also to. The Rambam writes that somebody who's Moshe Nefesh when he's not supposed to is Pashat Mishchayev Benafshe. It's like he committed suicide. But there's a Balei HaTosafos in there, and from them, the Rama hold that you're allowed to. Yeah. Anyway. So, now this guy just said, and on the face of it, it sounds like Messiah HaPichomoy, that the first that he killed the first year. Shama Devesu Vasoy Vasoy Lakameh Dabaya. So the first, the wife of the first man, who's been wondering all this time what happened to her husband, she heard about this, and she came to Abaya to get a heter, to be married on this basis. Abaya wasn't sure whether we believe the guy in this case. Shehisa Tzlasa Rigli. So he kept it over for 3 yamim tovim. Why? Because Rashi gives 2 explanations. One is that the Chachamim would gather together before each of the Yom Tovim on each of the Yom Tovim to hear a drasha on the halachas of that Yom Tov. So then there's a lot of Chachamim together. Abaya figure that then there'll be plenty of opportunity to discuss the pros and cons of it and come to a conclusion. Rashi gives a second interesting explanation that the regalim over here mean the yard sites of some of the great Chachamim, that they used to gather together on the yard site of a Talmud Chacham to they'd have a special get together in his honor, and they'd go to his kaver and learn Torah near it. The Rebbe brings us in a number of letters. We see here a source for the whole concept of celebrating like Ba'omer and celebrating the hilulos of other tzaddikim. Anyway, so for three yamim tovim or 3 yard sites, as the case may be, he held over the case because he wasn't sure. Amalar of Adaba Ava, sort of Adaba, thank you. Rav Adaba Ava finally says to the widow, you know what, forget about Abaya. Zilla Kameh de Rav Yosef, the Chorif Sakina. Go to Rav Yosef and ask him the Shaila. It's fine, we'll open another one. His knife is very sharp, meaning in other words, he's sharp at these things. He'll be able to figure out an answer right away. Or that he'll be able to cut and decide the halacha very, very promptly. You won't have to wait 3 yom tovim like this. Ozla Kameh, so sure enough, she went to Rav Yosef. Poshat Meha Masnissin, and he answered it on the basis of the following Masnissin. It says on the side, the following Braisa. Braisa says, Ovid Kachavim Shoyim Mocha Peres Bashuk, if a guy is selling fruit in the marketplace, the Omar, and he says, Peres Halola Shal Orlahein. He says, these fruit are Orla. Now he means that he doesn't know that Orla is also to Jews. He thinks by saying it's from, he doesn't use the word Orla, obviously. He thinks by saying that it's from a new tree, one that's less than 3 years old. He thinks he'll get a better price for it. Because people will say, you know what, such a young tree and already it's giving such good fruit, it must be really high quality. He doesn't realize that by saying that, he's actually declaring it usher. Or he says, second possibility, shall azeka hein. They are from azeka. So Rashi brings 2 explanations of what azeka means. One from his rebbeim, that azeka means an orchard that's surrounded by a wall. And we're talking about doing Shemitah year. So in other words, this fruit has been guarded during Shemitah year, which you're not allowed to do. So therefore it's also to eat. So Rashi says, I don't like that shot. Since when? You're not supposed to guard the orchard. You're supposed to leave them open and hefter for everybody. But if you do, I mean, we never find any place, Rashi says, that the fruit is also. Tosfos discusses back that actually we find a sifra that says just that. So that's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos whether in fact such fruit is also. This is obviously very negea nowadays. Anyway, Rashi himself brings a second explanation that Azeka here is the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael. It's mentioned in a few places in Tanakh. There's actually they found 80 or so years ago. They found a bunch of very interesting inscriptions, little letters. They're called the Lachish letters that are written between a soldier and his commander in the army just before the Churban Bayis Rishon, describing the military situation and different things. There's one letter over there where the subordinate writes to his commanding officer, we don't see the lights of Azeka anymore. The Pasha's because it was conquered at that point. And the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that mentioned that Lachish and Azeka, the 2 cities that he mentioned in his letter, are the last cities that were left in Eretz Yisrael that were unconquered before Yerushalayim. Anyway, so Azeka, according to this explanation of Rashi, Azeka had very high quality fruit. So this guy is claiming that this fruit is from Azeka, which if so means it's fruit from Eretz Yisrael, Chayvin, Tirumas, and Nisus. Again, he thinks he's going to get a better deal because people will like such fruit. He doesn't realize that he's creating problems in Halacha. Or Shal Nefer Abaya, he says it comes from a tree that's in its 4th year. He'd bring it up to Yerushalayim, or be poded, and take the money to Yerushalayim, yeah. Lo Yama Klum. The Braisa says, whatever he said is meaningless. In the case of Nefer Abaya's fruit from the 4th year of a tree, you have to take the fruit to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or you have to exchange it for money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And exchange the money for food in Yerushalayim and eat the food there. Yeah, that's a different matter. The Gemara mentions that in Beis. Yeah, that's the Asher Shuv Yerushalayim Peiros. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, So, lo niskaven el lashbiach mecha. We assume that the guy is only saying these things in order to make his product look better than it really is. We assume that it's really not from Arla or from Eretz Yisrael or from Shemitah or what have you. So therefore, based on that brisa, so we see by the same token over here, in the case of this guy who's threatening the yid, you better do this malacha for me on Shabbos or else I'm going to kill you like I killed Pliny. He didn't really kill Pliny necessarily. He's doing it in order to make himself look like a tough guy, in order to scare the guy. He can't use that as aegis. Some more cases. Aber Yudin ish Zeigen Omer. Meise Bistroa ba'ev kechavim shahocha baderech. It happened once that a Jew and a guy were walking on the road. Uva'ev kechavim va'omer. And later on, the guy comes back to town and he says, Chaval al Yehudi shayimi baderech. Woe about the Jew who was with me on the way. Shemeth baderech ukvartiv. He died on the way and I buried him. And on that basis, they allowed his wife to be married. Because again, this is the case of Messiah Chafitum, that the guy was just saying it. He wasn't saying it as Eidos. What a pity, you know, he's telling over what happened to him on the road. Not really, no, it's not a confession. It's not he's saying it. He's not saying I killed him. He's saying he died. But when he comes back to the city, like, you know, I want to tell everybody I had a sort of like nowadays, you know, you come back from a trip and you update your Facebook status and you put up a post, you know, in those days also people want to share what happened to them, but he's not doing it as ages. But first, we discussed also, by the way, whether it's important in this connection for the guy to have actually said ukvartiv, that I buried him, or is it good enough even without that? Because when it came to Eidos the other day, we said that when you say Kvautiv, I buried him, makes it stronger, at least, although the Rambam said even in a certain case, not even that, when it's not Rashat Mahama, right? But here, where it's Messiah Chavituma, maybe you don't need that. Again, the guy's not going to be Messiah Chavituma, that so-and-so is dead, unless he knows for sure. There's no reason to worry about Bididami, that maybe he thought the guy was dead, because otherwise he has no reason to go start telling it. Also, it once happened that there was a group of people going to Antiochia. And a guy comes and says, woe about this group of people that were going to Antiochia, that they died, and I buried them. And again, they allowed their wives to remarry on the basis of that Messiah Chafitumai. The Shuvmai, the Shishim Bnei Adam, then it happened again with 60 people, Shoyim Halchem Lekaukim Beter. They were going to besieged Beter, so this is when Beter was besieged in the time of Ben Kuziva, Bar Kochla. So 60 Jews were going there. Uvo'ev Kechavim Ba'omer, and a guy comes and says, Chaval al Shishim Bnei Adam, Shoyim Halchem Maderach Beter, Shemesu Ukvakim. Woe about these 60 people who were on the road to Beter, that they died and I buried them. And again, BC was Neshesem, and they allowed the wives to remarry on that basis. So we see in each of these cases, even in the second case where it was a group, and even in the third case where it was a large group, we still say that the Messiah Chavitome is good enough. We don't say that, for example, 60 people disappeared on the way. You would think, you know, some random guy is coming and saying it. I mean, come on, don't we have any other evidence than this one guy? No, we say that it's good enough. They were trying to enter the city, maybe to break through the lines of the siege. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Mace is not relevant.
It does not really relevant, I guess, for this purpose, whether they died or killed or whatever, yeah. Well, so we discussed before when it comes to his wife, whether according to the Rambam, even Kvartiv is not good enough in that case because she may have mixed him up with somebody else or whatever. But again, he were talking Messiah Chavituma. He were talking a guy who has no particular, he has no skin in the game, basically. You know, this is, now, to him, it's a group of people who died. What a pity, you know. So there's no reason to assume, you know, so therefore if he's Messiah Chavitumai, we can assume he's telling the truth. Messiah Chavitumai means he's telling it over like as a story, not as aegis, not as testimony. And one more thing, by the way, the post can talk about the question we discussed before, actually we'll have in the next mission, two Mishnayos from now, that you accept aid mipi aid, that you accept if even if the second aegis says I heard from the first person, then that's good enough. Is the same true with Messiah Chavituma? If guy number two said, it tells over, you know, last week I heard from guy number one who was just, you know, was telling me what happened, that I met so and so again, and he died and I buried him, is that good enough? I'm not sure whether that works. Mishnah says, Me'idin la'ur an ne'er la'ur la'vana, you can give eidos based on, you saw You can give Eidos based on you saw the dead body by the light of a candle or by the light of the moon. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Maybe in the darkness you may not have seen all the details. Or Masir Napi Basko. And you can also have somebody remarry based on a Basko. Now, usually we know throughout Shas Basko means the voice from Shemayim, a heavenly voice. Here, Mefarshim discusses, so Rashi over here just says that they heard a voice, but they didn't actually see a person. So Basko, according to that, would basically be like a disembodied voice. So we know it came from a human, we just don't see him. But the Mefarshim do talk about whether also a Basko, in the usual sense, would also work. Can you be master in Aguna based on a Basko or based on some other Ruchniyistika thing that a Tzaddik sees with Ruach HaKodesh that somebody is dead? So I've read where, for example, the Smichas Chachamim, Rabbi Naftali Katz, an important rabbi about 300 years ago, was one time master a woman based on such a thing, and it was a bit controversial. On the other hand, Rav Zevin has a story in Sefer Chassidim involving, I think, the Baal Shem Tov, that a woman came to him, an Aguna came to him, and the Baal Shem Tov says to her, basically, you know, I can see by Ruach HaKodesh that your husband is dead, but you can't pass in halacha based on Ruach HaKodesh. I'm afraid you're going to have to stay in Aguna, but if you follow that, then you have to do what you're supposed to do, and don't try fooling around or remarrying or whatever. Then I promise you, you'll have many generations. You'll get to see many generations of descendants from the child that you already have. And sure enough, one of the later tzaddikim meets her many years later, and he sees she has a huge family, and she tells him the story. Yeah. Anyway, so Masih and Api Basko. It happened once that somebody was standing on top of a mountain. He called out that Pliny ben Pliny from such a place is dying, or is dead. They didn't find anybody there who had actually said it, but it was a human voice. So you see what they allowed on that basis that Pliny ben Pliny's wife can remarry. Based on this voice that they heard, somebody calling out saying. So we'll talk about in the Gemara how we know the voice didn't come from a tzara, from a shed, whatever. We'll talk about it in the Gemara. So that's what I was just mentioning. Whether we do it here, a baskol in the simple meaning doesn't mean Ruach HaKodesh. It just means a disembodied voice. Somebody was there calling it out. We just don't see him there now. Maybe he slipped away. Maybe he fell into a hole, and then maybe he fell into a hole and we can't find him. Who knows? Anyway. So we'll talk about the matter of the get in the Gemara, actually, yeah. But even in this case, it's not so simple. We'll see. Wait a second, and we'll see in the Gemara. He's talking about as far as if you hear a voice from a pit saying, "I'm so and so, please write a get for my wife," you have to be sure it's really him, basically. We'll get to that in a minute. V'shuv ma'isiv at Salmon. It also once happened in Salmon, the name of a place. V'echad shomar, somebody called out, "Ani ish pleni ben ish pleni, I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Nashchani nachash v'areni mes, a snake bit me, I'm about to die." V'holchav v'leikiru, they went and they found a body there, but they couldn't recognize him because he had swelled up from the venom. V'holchav v'yisiv at ishtev, but they still went on that basis and were mafir his wife to remarry because they had heard him call out before he died who he is. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Bar Shmuel, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, this that we're saying in the Mishnah that you can use a baskol, that you can go based on a disembodied voice like that, is actually a machlokes. Bet Shammai says, Ein Masih Napi Baskol, V'Silam Masih Napi Baskol. Bet Shammai says no, V'Silam says yes. Question is, Ma'itza Mashmalon, Masin, isn't he? So what's the Chiddush? What's Rav Bar Shmuel informing us? Obviously, we know Bet Shammai, V'Silam, usually the halacha is like V'Silam. We have a Stam Mishnah that says like V'Silam. Why would we need to know what Bet Shammai says? The answer is Hakam Ashmalon. Rabbi Bashmul is telling us like this. You should know, the Imish Takha Stama, the Ein Masin, if you find any other Stam Mishnah or Stam Braisa that implies that you're not allowed to allow her to remarry based on a Baskel, you should know Beth Shammai here, you should know that Braisa or Mishnah follows Beth Shammai and you don't have to worry about it as Lalacha. Meaning, if we didn't know that, if we didn't know that there would originally have been a machlokas on that, you would think, you find some other braisa, now you have to fend for them. Maybe there's one case versus another, like this. No, they're a blanket statement. You can be masi al baskel.
What?
You can allow her to be married based on a baskel. We said, behokal v'lai matsu, they went, they didn't find anybody there. So they and they married her off on that basis.
Well, can we rely on the Ruach HaKodesh?
You can't. That's the thing. It's machlokes whether you can rely on Ruach HaKodesh. The consensus of many poskim is that you can't, because you can't use Ruach HaKodesh to decide questions of halacha. The Smichas Chachamim, who did, he held that you can't use Ruach HaKodesh to decide halacha, but you can use Ruach HaKodesh to establish facts. In this case, it's a factual question: is the guy alive or dead? So he held, yes, you can use Ruach HaKodesh for that. The Smichas Chachamim, Rabbi Naftali Katz. Anyway, the Dilma Shed Hava, the Gemara asks, how do you know? Maybe it was a shed standing there, a demon who's standing over there and calling this out. They can appear in human form. Or right now, the Gemara is not assuming they have a form yet, but at least they have voices similar to humans. You're right. You'd have to be that you actually saw a human form there. So what? Inunami Damu. So what? They look like people. Shadim look like people also. The Gemara mentions this famous thing that they have feet like chickens, but other than that, and in the rest of their bodies, the Gemara mentions in the Chagiga that there's three ways in which Shadim are like people and three in which they're like Malachim. And they have bodies, and they eat and drink, and they go to the bathroom, and they procreate just like human beings. That's a famous story in Gittin, how Ashmedai impersonated Shlomo for a period of time. Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, impersonated Shlomo for a time. So yeah, Shadim have bodies like just like humans. The answer is the Chazul Le Babaya. Yes, but the case that we're talking about over here is they saw that he had a shadow. So what? The Inunami Islo Babaya. So what? Shadim have a shadow also. The answer is the Chazul Le Babaya de Babaya. Because what it is actually we saw not only the shadow, but the shadow of the shadow. Meaning, if you walk outside, for example, at night, some, you know, under the street lights, for example, you may notice you have a heavier shadow and then you have a dimmer shadow further out. So if you saw over here not only the person, not only the figure of the person, but also a shadow, and that dimmer shadow, then you know it's a person. Question is why? But Dilma who is the Rabbi de Rabbi? Why maybe Shadim have that also? Amar Rav Chanina, no. Amali Yonas and Shida. Yonas and the Shed told me. Rashi actually gives two explanations of Yonas and Shida. One is that that's the name of a shed. We know that Tanya mentions, based on Zoya, that there are Jewish Shadim and there are Goyish Shadim. So this one, evidently, with a name like Yonas, was one of the Jewish Shadim. Or, Rashi says he's called Yonas and Shida because he's a person, he's Yonas and the Shed expert. He's the expert on anything about Shadim. Anyway, he told me, Babaya Islahu, Babaya de Babaya Leslahu. Shadim have a shadow, but they do not have that shadow of a shadow. In Chassidus, in a bunch of places, there's a mimer in Lechut Torah, in Parshas Re'eh, I think, that talks about the deeper idea of this. The Shadim represent, throughout the Gemara, they represent Koches Atuma, the forces of evil in the world. Now we know, a person has the sort of the standard parts of their neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama. Then you have the makif, the encompassing thing of Elokus, which is Yichaya, and then the makif of the makif, which is Yichida, the deepest essential part of the neshama. The Koyches HaTumah, the Sitra Achra, they may have a makif. They don't have a makif de makif. They don't have that Yichida. That is why when it comes in many places in the Chassidus, it talks about when you're having to fight against Ra, then you need what you do it. You don't go and fight. What you do is you bring out the Yechida, and automatically that disperses them because they don't have anything to go against with that. That's why, for example, on Yom Kippur is the Gilya Yechida, and therefore they're even very serious Averis are forgiven on that day, and the Sultan has no power to be Makasrig, etc.
To
accuse. So Yechida is the part of the. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain our regular lachas in the middle of a shiur over here, but you should probably ask the mashpia about that. But basically, the idea, the Yechida is what we call, you know, what we call in, you know, what they call in common parlance the pintel yid, you know, the part of a person nishta vil and nishta ken. That a person can't and is not able to be separated from the Eibishter. So when a person works on bringing out and making that part of him be something that he feels, then that automatically gets rid of the hatred to another yid. What do you mean? If you feel you can't possibly be separate from the Eibishter and another yid is chelik l'kami ma'al mamish just like you, then there's no room for hate against him. How you do it in practice, that's something you have to ask a mashpia. Anyway, so over here, this idea is that the Gemara is expressing it with this idea that the Shadim have a bavoya, a shade, but not bavoya de bavoya, not a shade of a shade, representing this makif de makif, the yechida. That they don't have. Okay, the next question, v'dumot tzora havoy. Fine. How about, though, how do you know that this person who was standing over there and calling out is not this woman's tzora? We learned before that a tzora is one of the five women who we suspect hates her tzara, hates her husband's other wife, and might dafka give false edus in order to ruin things for her. How do you know? Maybe it was she who was standing over there and yelling this out. The answer is, Tanat ve'ra b'shmol, b'shas ha-sakona, koistum v'noitzen af b'shen makirin. When it comes to a get, the example that you gave in Gittin over there where a person is in a pit and calls out, whoever hears this, please write a get for my wife. You can write and get and give it to the wife, even though you don't recognize who it is who's saying it, because it's shasa sakana. If you wait until you find out the fact, the guy may be dead and it'll be too late. Same idea over here. If you have, somebody is standing over there and calling out, I was just bitten by a snake and I'm about to die, or the previous case where he's just saying, plenty has died, it's a shasa sakana. If you don't do something about it right away, then you're not going to have it. You're not going to be able to be master her. So therefore we can set aside the possibility that it's the tzara over here. We'll have to take that chance, basically.
Well,
wow, I didn't hear that, but I know there were cases of agunis after September 11th where part of the evidence that they used to say that her husband's taka were there and are dead was cell phone calls. Yeah. Mishnah says, Omer of Akiva, Kshiratin l'Nahavda l'Abra Hashana, when I went down to Nahavda to declare an Ibriyar, we learned this the other day, that really an Ibriyar is only supposed to be declared in Eretz Yisrael, but in his time there were difficulties in doing that in Eretz Yisrael because of the Romans or whatever, so he had to go to Nahavda to do it. Matsasi Nechemi Ishbeitri, I met up over there with Nehemiah from Ish Beis Dli, Omali, and Nehemiah tells me, Shamaiti, Shein Masiyin et Ish about Yisrael, Al Piyei Dechad, Ela Yehuda Ben Bava. I have heard that the only Rav, the only Tana in Eretz Yisrael who allows a woman to remarry based on one aid is only Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava. All the other Chachamim disagree and say you need two aid. V'nu Meisa, Lekein Advarim, and Rabbi Akiva says, I told him, yes, that's true. Omali, so Nehemiah tells me, Emer Lahem Mishmi, please tell them in my name, you know that this country is all in an uproar because of soldiers. We learned this the other day. The Gemara explains, in other words, Nehemiah is saying, therefore, because of that, there's too much warfare going on, so I'm not able to travel to Eretz Yisrael myself to give this message, so please give it in my name. Emor lahem mishmi, tell them in my name. But tell them, I have a Kabbalah from Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, Shemasiyin, it's a Ishal Piedecha, that you can allow a woman to be married based on one aid. Now, Rabbi Gamliel Azokin is a couple of generations before, it's like 70 or 80 years before this story, so it's a precedent. When I came and told and gave this message over to Rav Gamliel, this is Rav Gamliel, this is the second Rav Gamliel, Rav Gamliel the Yavne, Samach, he was happy, he was happy to hear what I said, and he said, good, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, good, now we found another source for what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying, now he's not a Daf Yachid anymore. As they're discussing the issue, Nizka Rav Gamliel, Shenergu Harugin B'Tel Arza, Rav Gamliel remembered that one time, many years before, people had been killed in Tel Arza, name of a place, V'Hisi Rav Gamliel, Nishetein Apiyed Echad, and Rav Gamliel, the Pashas Rav Gamliel Azakin, had allowed their wives to remarry based on only one aid. So we have not just Nehemiah Ish Beis Dli's testimony that he learned this from Rav Gamliel, but Rav Gamliel, the Yavne, remembers that, yes, many years before, my grandfather actually passed in Halacha and practiced this way. And once that happened, the Huchsuku, they made a chazaka now, once this Eidus was accepted, that it's good enough to have one aid for Eidus Isha, so now they made a chazaka that you can be lenient in other ways. Lias Masiyan Eid Mipi Eid, that you're allowed to allow her, you can have her remarry based on an aid who's testifying based on hearsay that he heard from another aid. Mipi Eved, you can allow her to be married based on the testimony of an Eved, Mipi Isha, Mipi Shivcha, a woman, a shivcha.
Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, I mean, but Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say, they were actually saying this before all of this last discussion, but the Gemara just left it in, the Mishnah just left it in, because Mishnah learned the Mem Kaima. A lot of times when we have an earlier opinion, we still leave it in the Mishnah, because people were used to it. So they say, you can't allow her to remarry based on one aid. So it's not, they're not arguing with Nechemiah Ish Beis Zvi and Rami Gamliel Azak. And this is before any of that happened, this was their opinion. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, you can have her remarry based on one aid, but not based on, not if that one aid is a woman or an Eved or a Shivcha or a relative. So you're telling me Rabbi Akiva holds that you can't allow a woman to be married based on the testimony of another woman? We believe a woman to bring her own get from overseas based on a kavachomer. What are we talking about? The cases like this. Normally, you know, man gives a get to his wife and that's it. The divorce takes effect. We learn in Gittin that the Chavim made a takana. You have to say, if you're bringing a get from overseas, you have to be able to declare b'fanei nichtav or b'fanei nechtav. It was written and signed in front of me. Because otherwise we're not sure whether the Beis Din overseas knew the dinim properly like this. You testify that they knew what they were doing. Now, the case of a hue would be like this. The husband gives his wife a get. He doesn't give it to her actually in order for it to take effect at that point. He gives it to her as a shliach kabbalah. Her job is to bring the get to Eretz Yisrael, to give it to somebody else in Eretz Yisrael, who then will give it to her, and then it'll take effect. So she is her own shliach kabbalah. Not shliach kabbalah, sorry, shliach halacha. She's her own shliach halacha. She's her own shliach to carry the get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. Shliach halacha. She's a shliach to bring the get. And we believe her to do that, and to declare b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, based on a kav ha'chomer. And even the five women who we said in the previous perek, we don't believe them to testify that her husband is dead, because we suspect that they might be doing it in order to trick her. Nevertheless, we believe them if they bring her get, because we said the other day that the get itself is evidence. You have the caveat of the get itself is evidence. So Zushin Amenas Lemon Mes Baila, so a woman herself who we believe to say that her husband's dead, Ain't a Dinshin Amenas Lahabi Gita. How much more so we believe her to bring her own get? So what's the implication? So obviously what the Braita is saying is that as far as Eidos Isha, we don't believe the five women, but we do believe any other woman. So what is Rabbi Akiva? And this is all Mishum Rabbi Akiva. The answer is Loikasha, Kan Kodim Shechziku, Kan La'acha Shechziku. These are two different opinions of Rabbi Akiva from different stages. There was a stage before Rabbi Akiva heard this thing from Nechemiah basically. The din was you couldn't do it based on one aid at all, let alone based on a woman or an eved or whatever. After that, at first they established the halacha based on that aid, said good, you can accept one aid, but it was still at that point Rabbi Akiva still held it has to be a kosher aid. Later on, Huxiku, the chazaka became that you can allow an isha and eved and so forth, and that's the shitta that Rabbi Akiva is saying in this place. So our Mishnah, in other words, is Rabbi Akiva during that second stage. The Braisa is him during the third stage. So Rabbi Akiva is saying you can't believe a woman's eidus. Amrulai, they said to him, how could that be? It happened once that some Levim went to Tzoyar, the city of palm trees, the south end of the Yam HaMelech, where Sdoim used to be. V'chola echad mehem, one of them became sick, very overpunduk. They brought him to an inn. And then they went off on their trip or whatever. When they came back, they asked the innkeeper, the woman innkeeper, where's our friend? She says to them, he died and I buried him. And they allowed his wife to remarry. The question is, shouldn't a kohenis, meaning a woman who's allowed to marry a kohen, a kosher, a Jewish woman, be at least as trustworthy as a pundikis, an innkeeper? Which the Gemara is going to point out was a goyish innkeeper. He says to them, No. If this Jewish woman is like the pundikis in this situation, then yes, she will be believed. Pundikis means an innkeeper. So Rashi gives two different girsas and two slightly different explanations. One is that the girsa is like we have it, if the woman's testimony is like the testimony of this pundikis, then fine, because he's going to say it wasn't just that she said Metzukvartiv, she actually brought out his personal effects. So yes, a regular woman, if she actually brings out his personal effect, then yes, we can believe her on that basis, but not otherwise, or like if it's saying. Or the other explanation Rashi says is that no, l'chshetehei pundikis ne'menes. What, you really think a pundikis is believable? It's not. It was Messiah Fitumai, and she brought out his actual effect. But you can't compare Messiah Fitumai to Aedus. Namely, a pundikis said Tila Makliv Tamil Sefer Shahibiyade. This pundikis actually brought out, she didn't just say he died. She actually brought out evidence. She brought out his walking stick and his bag and the Sefer Torah that he had with him. So that, together with what she's saying, that he's dead, that's already good enough for us to establish that. So you might ask, my grievous at the pundikis, what's so terrible about a pundikis? How is she any worse than any other woman? It was a goyish pundikis. If it was a Jewish one, you're right, any Jewish woman's on the same level. But this is a goyish woman. And she wasn't giving ages, she was mesichel fitumah, right? She was just, like we said before, just telling it as a casual story. She says, this is his stick, this is his bag, and here's the grave where I buried him. Same thing, we learn in a place. A pundikis averes kechavim haisa, or mesichel fitumah haisa, zem makle v'zetamil v'zekevesh kvarti bay. Well, I said, what do you mean she's mesichel fitumah? They asked you a question, where is our friend? When you're answering that, that's not mesichel fitumah. Mesichel fitumah is the guy is volunteering the information on his own, like we had in the cases before. Here they're asking you a question. When she's answering it, isn't that edus? The answer is no. What happened was like this. Kibin de chazisinu, when she saw them coming, bachia, she started crying. Amrula, at that point, they said to her, Ayei chavirenu, where's our friend? Amalahem, and at that point, she said to them, Nesukvartiv, that he died and I buried him. So the fact that she was crying, that itself at the beginning is the Messiah Fitumai. The fact that she, on her own, began crying before they even asked her, that's the Messiah Fitumai. That she wasn't meaning to give it as Aedus, that she's upset and she wanted them to know about it. And it happened once that a person comes to give Aedus for a woman that her husband died in front of Reb Tarfin. In front of Reb Tarfin. Reb Tarfin, that was the name of the time. Omaloi, so Reb Tarfin asks him, B'ni, heich ati yadeh be'edus ishazu, how exactly do you know this Aedus? Now, do you really need to ask, to what extent do you need to ask details? That's what the Gemara is going to take up in a little bit. But he asks him, so how do you know? Omar, so he says, I and this other guy, who I'm testifying about, were walking on the road. A troop of soldiers started chasing after us. This guy, my companion, held on to a branch of an olive tree. And he broke off the branch. The hechzer of the guy is not heard of, and he used it as a weapon, as a club, to fight against the soldiers and make them turn back. When he did that, I said to him, Arya, yishakoycha. Arya, you lion-hearted guy, yishakoycha. Amalei, he said to me, minayinat yedesha Arya shmi. You're calling me Arya? Wow, how do you know? My name is Arya. Kach kori no yisibiri. As a matter of fact, that's what they call me back home. Yochanan b'Rabbi Yehonasan, Arya de Mekfar Shichya. The lion from Kfar Shichya. By the way, this is, I think, the only place in Shas where we find the possibility of someone having two names, Yehonasan Arya. But not really, because here Arya is an adjective, the guy who is mighty as a lion. Nowadays, of course, you know, people have two, three, four, you know, however many names. But in those days, it wasn't. The person had one name. It was unknown of, basically, in those days that a person has an extra name. In this case, Arya is more of a nickname.
Like two
K's. Yeah. Come on, that's a two-word name, not two different names.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, continues the person telling his aedus to Reb Tarfin. Later on, the guy continues. This person, this Yochanan ben Rabbi Yonasan, fell sick and died. And v'hisid Tarfin as ishtei, and Reb Tarfin allowed this Yochanan's wife to remarry. Now, so the question becomes: Reb Tarfin like boy drisha b'chakira? Doesn't Reb Tarfin require that you actually check out the edim thoroughly? normally we know with dinim mominis and dinim nefashis, you have to ask the edim, first of all, the actual date and time and the basic circumstances, that's jurisha. And then chakira, if you ask them, all kinds of other side details. If it's a murder case, what color shirt was the victim wearing? What kind of tree was it under? In this case, there doesn't seem to have been drisha v'chakira. He just takes the guy at his word. There wasn't this cross examination. So doesn't Rav Tarfon require that? Val Tanya, but we learn a different version of the same braisa. Ma'isa ba'adam echad shabalifnei Rav Tarfon l'hoi de edus isha. Amalai, Rav Tarfon tells him, b'ni heyachati yedei edus zu. How do you know this edus? Amalai, aniva hu hayinu hochem baderech. We were walking together on the way. V'rodef acharenu gayis, a troop of soldiers started chasing us. V'nitla b'yichur te'ena. And this time it wasn't a zayis, it was a te'ena. He grabbed a hold of a branch of a fig tree. And he broke it off. And he used it as a weapon. V'hechzer the guy slachar of, and he made the soldiers turn around. Amar tila yishakoychacha arye. Amali, he says to me, yofik ivanta l'shmi. You hit on my name very exactly. Shekach koyne sibiri yochanan ben yonason arye devakfar shichya. L'yomim cholo mes. And then the person continues. Later on, he became sick and died. Now, amaloi. Now in this place, the person says to the witness, loykach amar tila yochanan ben yonason devakfar shichya arye. Let me get this straight. Did you say the man's name was Yochanan ben Yonasan from the village of Shichya Aryeh? You wanted to see if you wanted to check him out to make sure that he's telling the truth. No, what I told you, Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh de Mekfar Shichya. The dictical of Shnayim or Shlosh Apamim. So he tried these kinds of things two or three times, seeing if he could trip him up. And each time the guy said the same thing, so we know he's telling the truth. But he said, Tarfon Atzishta, and then Tarfon allowed his wife to be married. So we see it's not just, you don't just hear out the guy's ages, and it's not just you ask him the basic, everybody agrees, fine, you have to ask him the basic circumstances. When Tarfon says to the guy to begin with, how do you know? Fine, you do have to ask the basic details, how you know that it's plainy and not plainy, for example, fine. But the second braisa is mentioning that you need to cross-examine him like this, where he's trying to cross him up and trip him up. The first braisa didn't say anything about that. Why not? Same with Tanoi. It's actually machlokas Tanoi. The Tanya, Ein boitkin edin nashim adrush v'chakira, dibur Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva says that you don't need to cross-examine witnesses to be matir a woman with drush v'chakira, with the usual cross-examination. Rav Tarfon Omer Boitkin, whereas Rav Tarfon says you do need to cross-examine them. And then on the side here it mentions, on the bottom here it mentions that the Magid Mishnah and Lacha Mishnah in Rambam have a different girsa, their girsa seems to be the same as ours, but okay, Agoris Agro has the other way around, I don't know, whatever. There's a number of different sides over here of who exactly says what, whether you need Dirish of HaKira or not. So the way it's printed over here, it seems to be that everybody seems to be saying the same thing. But when I was reviewing it earlier in the Art School Gemara, they mentioned that there's different beforshim that have different girsos over here. Whether Rav Akiva is the one saying you don't need to, and Rav Tarfon saying you do, or the other way around, Rav Tarfon saying you don't, and Rav Akiva says you do, or maybe even that the Tanakhama says you don't, and Rav Akiva and Rav Tarfon said you do. Whatever it is, we have different opinions. What's the underlying machlokas? They're actually arguing about what Rav Chanina is saying. The Amr Rav Chanina, Dvar Torah, Echad Dinim Mamanus, Ve'echad Dinim Fashis, V'Dirush V'Chakira. Mina Torah, both Dinim Mamanus, the cases involving money, and Dinim Mamanus, capital cases, you need to cross-examine the witnesses. Shenema Mishpat Echad Yelachem, because the Pasuk says there should be one judgment for you, which implies, now we know by Dinim Fashis, you have to cross-examine, now we have a Pasuk that says so. So therefore, the same has to apply to Dinim Mamanus. So why does the Chachamim say that in financial cases you don't need Dirush HaKira? Because you don't want to lock the door in front of people who are going to borrow money. What's going to happen? Reuben's going to come to Shimon asking to borrow money, and they're going to have Adim over there. But Shimon's going to say, you know what? And when later on, what's going to happen? You know, you're going to default on the loan. I'm going to have to bring you to Beis Din. We're going to start, you know, Beis Din is going to start cross-examining the Edim, and then we'll start asking what color shirt were you wearing, and what kind, you know, and what brand of pen did I use to sign the check or whatever, you know? And they're not going to remember. And then Beis Din's going to throw out the whole case. I don't want it. So you know what? I'm not going to bother lending you in the first place. So therefore the Chachamim took away that requirement. That Rav Chanina says that, so everybody agrees to that. Fine. Over my commitment, so how does that apply to Arma Chloikus over here, whether by Eidin Nashim you need this cross-examination? Marsover, one opinion takes it, given to Ikuk Suba Mishkal, since she's going to be collecting Huksuba, if Beis Din determines that her husband is dead and allows her to remarry, then it means she's entitled to collect Huksuba. Therefore, Dinim Mominus, dummy. Therefore, we should consider it like Dinim Mominus, and therefore, there shouldn't be needed to cross-examination. Whatever the aide says, fine, we accept. Well, Mar Sava, whereas the other opinion holds Kivin to Kashuta and Ashes Ish La'alma, Kedin to Farshas Dami. Yes, but on the other hand, we're being Matir and Ashes Ish to marry somebody else. And the fact is that's an issue Mrs. Based, that's an issue involving Mrs. Based in. So therefore, you have to consider it. Kedin to Farshas Dami, you have to consider it like Din to Farshas.
Well, arguing about our case,
So our case, this Breitzer was Reb Taufen. We had two different versions, right?
Yeah.
We had one version where the guy said his piece and Reb Taufen said, fine, you know, we accept that, we marry off your wife. But not your wife, the other guy's wife. The second version is that Reb Taufen actually tried to trip him up. Is Aryeh his nickname, or is Aryeh's name part of the name of the village? There's different details like that. That's Dush Vachira. So that's the question. Do you need that or not? So we're saying the two Braises, which are giving two different versions of the story, are arguing on that question. Do you need Dirish Vachkira in this case? If we say it's Dine Mominus because we're mainly focusing on the fact that she's collecting Huxoba, then you don't need. Like Rav Chanina is saying, that the Chum will make all of that. If you say that we consider it Dine Nefashis, because being Master and Ashes Ish is something, in if this first husband turns up alive, then in principle the second husband is Chayiv Misa. He isn't really Chayiv Misa because of the Beshoigig, but still, it's something that involves Misa. Therefore, we should consider it like Dine Nefashis, and you do need. Now, Mepharshim ask, why are we considering what? Yeah, it is both, yeah. I mean, and why would we even think that the Ksuba should override the Dine Nefashis part of it? There's a lot of different answers. One very simple answer that the Ramban gives is, nowadays, in Reb Taufen's times and afterwards, it's long after there's no more Dinin Nefashis. Beis Din stopped judging Dinin Nefashis 40 years before his Churban. So at this point, there is no Dinin Nefashis. Yes, it could be something of Dinin Nefashis when the Sanhedrin was sitting in the Lushka Sagazis, but nowadays it's not. So all that's left is the Dinin Mominus part. Would argue that, but the fact is, it is something which could be Dinin Nefashis. Yes, as a practical matter, nowadays we can't judge it as Dinin Nefashis, but still, the principle of what kind of case it is still exists. And the Gemara finishes off a finish that we have in three other Masechtas. Also, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina. We say it every day in davening. Tamar Chachamim Mabim Shalom Ba'olam Shenema V'chol Banayich Lebudei Hashem V'Rav Shalom Banayich. And it says on the side here, Al Tukur Banayich El Banayich. We'll do the Hadron and the Siyum on Sunday. That's the Shem. Just one little bit of a cynical verse they say on this, that Tamar Chachamim make a lot of peace in the world, because every Tamar Chacham has his own idea of how things should be. So for him, there's peace. Everybody, he argues with everybody else, but there's a peace here and a peace here and a peace here. Everybody has their own idea of what peace is, basically. A bit of a Latsonistic verse on what this is. But the deeper meaning of it, we'll talk
about.
The deeper meaning of it we'll talk about on Sunday, Bez Hashem. In particular, there's a famous Hadron that the Rebbe gave on this, why the Masechta ends off with this, and why there are three other Masechtas that have the same ending, and how it applies Davka to each one of them.